So, I bet you actually want to hear something about how the boat's doing. Cue the marimbas. A routine valuation survey for insurance.
An acceptable condition and valuation survey report is required prior to your next renewal on December.
Turns into a bit of a cluster.
Insurance coverage for your boat has expired. If you wish to continue.
And just when I think I've got it solved without spending over $10,000.
Hey man, you said you were going to get me that invoice Friday. I need it for the insurance.
What could possibly go wrong? How Not to Sail. This episode sponsored by our awesome Patreon patrons, like Betty Corbin. That sounds awfully familiar. And Captain Bob. Thank you guys so much for helping keep us afloat. You've probably heard that saying about how the two happiest days in a person's life are the day they buy a boat and the day they sell it. I gotta say, I'm still happy I bought my little mobile temple of solitude. But there are times when it gets challenging to keep everything shipshape from a distance.
Dear Mr. Rogers, thank you for insuring your boat with Marine Insurance Company. We are writing to remind you that...
I guess it was a 10-year thing, since that's how long I've had my boat down on the salty water. The insurance company, in their infinite wisdom, apparently decided it was time to make sure the boat was still floating and liable to stay that way. So they sent me a nice letter, as narrated by our friend Janine.
If the company does not receive the required condition and valuation survey report, your policy will not be renewed. In order to avoid...
I wasn't real keen on getting the vessel hauled out, which is not cheap and not without a certain amount of stress when you're talking about a 9-ton floating home. Fortunately, the nice lady at the insurance company told me this survey, unlike the one I'd done to get the insurance, could be done in the water. So, with the survey due in December, I made a note in my calendar for late November to book a surveyor. Of course, I almost waited too long to book a surveyor, but I did manage to get hold of a fellow who could come by the last week of November. But meanwhile, I got another letter from the insurance company.
Dear Bradford Rogers, insurance coverage for your boat has expired. If you wish to continue coverage through... Marine Insurance Program. Please call us to discuss your options toll-free.
Wait, what? Yep, a little bit of a piss cutter there, isn't it? First they tell me to get a survey, then they tell me I'm canceled before I even get it to them. After a call to said insurance company, it turns out they were just a little too proactive, that it would cancel at renewal if everything wasn't hunky-dory. Still, jeez. But speaking of proactive, I did arrange for the surveyor to get to the boat and for my friend Jim to let him aboard, where he proceeded to do his surveying thing. Very diligently, it appears. Then I proceeded to pay the fellow the balance of the $700 survey fee and waited a few days longer than promised for the survey results. And boy, were they some results. Who knew everything aboard my boat was rotten and needed to be replaced? At least according to this document. The survey said that I should replace all the standing rigging, all the running rigging, and a few other things. If you're new to sailing, the standing rigging is the 8 steel cables that hold the mast up, and the running rigging is the 9 or 10 lines that let you hoist and trim different sails and things. The standing rigging and its associated hardware are particularly expensive. I asked the surveyor to make a couple of corrections, starting with the fact that the one particular line of the running rigging he'd paid excessive attention to was the one I never use, and that the rest of the running rigging seemed to be in pretty good shape to me. To his credit, he did adjust those comments, and I sent the remaining mess into the insurance company.
Dear Mr. Rogers, your renewal policy has been issued on a port risk only restriction, which excludes any coverage for navigation or movement of the insured boat via any means while on the water without our prior written permission.
Well, that's going to make it kind of hard to go sailing. So while we're waiting to see how that mess turns out, this is a great time to thank our awesome Patreon patrons, including our newest patrons, Betty and Captain Bob, and to remind you that you can help keep How Not to Sail afloat by joining the Patreon crew for as little as $3 a month. You can go to hownottosail.com/Patreon, and in fact, you can find everything How Not to Sail at hownottosail.com. If you've enjoyed How Not to Sail and want to help out the podcast but don't want to get on the Patreon crew, there's a lot of ways you can do it for free, like telling a friend. And if you want some more ideas, just go to hownottosail.com/help. You can find over 200 articles, blog posts, videos, and all kind of mayhem at hownottosail.com. And if you want to get to the other departments, if you're on your mobile device, just look in the upper left-hand corner for that little hamburger thing that gives you the menu. You can find show notes for every episode of the podcast by going to hownottosail.com/that episode number, so /54 for this episode. Although this week's show notes may be a little late because I'm going to be going somewhere at 5 in the morning. But the show notes often include stuff like maps and pictures and all kind of stuff. So if you haven't checked out hownottosail.com yet, check it out. You can find all sorts of great stuff there. So, now we have a boat that's not insured to go anywhere, but I'm probably going to need to take it to a boatyard if I'm going to get the standing rigging replaced. That's one of the two things the insurance company insisted on. The other thing is that they want one of the chain plates repaired, which are long metal plates that come through the cabin top and are bolted to something, and that's what the different cables of the standing rigging are attached to. One of the chain plates on the starboard side is bolted to the wall in between the main cabin and the head. I understand these walls are supposed to be called bulkheads. This bulkhead, indeed, is looking a little sketchy, and the fiberglass around the chain plate is showing some cracks. If you're thinking of buying a boat, I highly recommend it. Sometimes. But be forewarned, there are many frustrations with owning a boat, particularly on the salty water. And one of the biggest frustrations is trying to find someone who can work on your boat who isn't a drunk, a flake, an asshole, incompetent, or a rip-off artist. Or all of the above. My quest to get the required repairs done led me on quite the wild goose chase, which I will only briefly summarize here. First, I called rigging. They quoted me $10,000 to replace the standing rigging and said it would take a week. Unfortunately, they couldn't do the chain plate work since they didn't do fiberglass, and their partner business next door, who could do glass work, never bothered to get back with me. But then my friend Jim said I should call Brad at Paradise Yacht Service, who could actually replace the standing rigging in the marina, at less expense, without me having to move the boat. Of course, Brad doesn't do structural fiberglass work, so after calling two more boatyards for referrals on somebody who could do the chain plate repair in the water, I got the name of Yacht Services, who said they'd come by and have a look, but never did. But then I ran into some luck, which at the time was also rather frustrating in a way. It seems that after looking at my boat, Brad at Paradise Yachts, a rigger with 30 years of experience, said in no uncertain terms that the standing rigging looked fine and whatever issues the surveyor found were superficial. So, Brad agreed to write me a letter to that effect, which might convince the insurance company to strike one of the two repairs, at least. But even if that worked, I still had a problem. Without someone who could do the chain plate and bulkhead repair in the water, I'd still have to take the boat to a yard and spend lots of time and money and get special permission to even move the boat. But finally, Brad stumbled upon a possible solution.
I did talk to another company that was down at the harborage, and they said they do that kind of work. So I don't know if you want to try them or not.
So they do work in the marina, or I would have to take it over near the harborage?
No, they're mobile. They come to you.
Oh, okay. I guess if they're insured, that's not a problem. Who are those folks?
I don't see the name, but they do fiberglass repair, structural fiberglass repair. And the guy's name is C. Richards. I have a phone number for him if you want that.
Why, yes, I think I do. This all seems very promising. I may not have to get the standing rigging replaced, and I might have found someone who can do the chain plate and bulkhead repair while the boat's in the marina. What could possibly go wrong? All right, I gotta get going, so I will see you next time when we find out what happened with this mess. I believe next time will be Friday, March 1st, if my math is correct, and God willing. Meanwhile, thanks as always to our awesome Patreon patrons. Don't forget, you can hit me up on the How Not to Sailor hotline at 770-458-3838. If you forget it, it's under the contact menu on the website. And meanwhile, don't back over your dinghy, and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how. Okay, your first name's Richard.
Yes. Oh. Yes. My last name is Richard. Everybody calls me by my last name because they think my last name is easier.